You're listening to the podcast at First Assembly Church. For more information, check us out at firstassemblychurch.org.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Jason. Pastor Jason and Pastor Jason. How do you like that? My last name starts with a B, so you can call me Pastor Jason B if you want. Here's something that tugs at my heart all the time. I want to make a difference. How can I make, here's questions that I ask myself all the time. How can I make an impact? How can I live my life in a way like that would leave a legacy that's worth living and worth leaving? You're wired to ask that question too. Whether you've ever admitted it or not, you've kind of laid there in the middle of the night wondering if the decisions that you were making were going to leave the legacy and the trail, the difference, the impact that you were created to live. Whether you put it in those words or not, each and every one, it's like in your blood, it's in our DNA. Stamped on the inside of your heart is the word greatness. And you know it. And those of us who have blown it, some of us weren't good at making good decisions. You don't have to raise your hand, I'll raise mine. Some of you are good at being good, and I just want to hang out with you to learn how, okay? Others of us haven't been good at making good, and then what happens is we know that greatness was stamped in the middle of our lives, and so because we have kind of sabotaged that, now we want to escape from it, which creates then this downward pattern, addiction, self-absorption, even success, anything that I can get to mask this feeling. Because here's the deal, something, it's a driving force in my life right now is the knowledge that someone can live their whole life without ever connecting to something greater. Today we're going to finish up the story of Stephen. We're just walking through as a church, and I invite you, whether this is the first time in an environment like this or the first time in a long time, to just buckle up, join us. You're here today, that's great, but we're walking through the book of Acts. These are the stories of those who followed Christ first and what their lives were like. And we're just going to continue this, but today we're finishing up the story of a young man named Stephen. If you haven't been a part of this or you haven't read that before, let me just recap. He was chosen to serve tables. He was called by God to serve people. He went about while serving tables and serving people, telling everybody about the joy and the hope and the life and the legacy that he wanted to leave and the hope and the opportunity that it had for each and every one of them. And people began to respond. And he kept serving the tables, but he was declaring Jesus. And as he did, it says that mighty miracles began to happen through his ministry. The first ministry I ever had was a batting cage ministry, because that's where I worked. I would go in, people like kids that didn't have enough money to play with the batting cage would come in, and I would teach them about Jesus. And some miracles happened in that batting cage. I don't have time to get into them all today, but they're kind of fun, all right? Just whatever you're doing, God wants to come alongside and use you. He wants to be a part of every day, not just Sunday. Despite some opposition that came against Stephen, he was unafraid to call out his generation to a higher standard. Here's what happened next. You can open up your iPhones or your iPads or your eyeballs. We're going to have it on the screen for you even. Acts chapter 7, verse 54, it says, let's look at this together. It says, the Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation. They shook their fists at him in rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they stoned him, Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He fell to his knees, shouting, Lord, don't charge them with this sin. And with that, he died. He becomes the first person to follow Jesus in obedience unto death. Father, I just ask that you would speak to us through your word today. You'd speak to us, God, through the story of your servant, Stephen. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm so glad to be a part of this church. I am, and I just want to say a huge thank you to Pastor Jason and Paul. I mean, I just love the vision that you're bringing, and I love being a part of this. I believe that God has each and every one of us, but my family here for such a time as this, and I'm just so great. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you for this opportunity to share today. Did you know that someone can be a Christian and not go all in with Jesus? It bothers me a little bit, I'm not going to lie. Because people can memorize the rules and not buy into a full relationship. It grieves me because I believe that we have the potential of cheapening what Stephen and Jesus himself died for by allowing people to buy in without selling out. Today I want to talk to you about going all in with Jesus. Because if you want to live a life that leaves a legacy for the kingdom of God, you can't go at it halfway. I remember I grew up kind of rural Washington State. We just went back there this summer, and it's beautiful. And I'm like, I don't even remember it being this beautiful here. Like, you take things for granted sometimes, right? And I grew up kind of rural, and so when we went swimming, we didn't have swimming pools. Well, we did. They were above ground, and they were like 4 feet deep. The only thing you could do is run around in circles until the current, like, swept you off your feet. Anyone, tell me I'm not alone. Somebody else did that. Thank you. I knew I felt at home here. All right, what we had to do is we had to go find a river. Anyone else go swimming in a river that somewhere upstream was a glacier, all right? And it was cold, all right? But it was also deep. And I remember standing on a logging road trestle bridge for about 17 hours, felt like it. It might have been less. Staring down at the water. It was probably about 20 feet, but for me it felt about 200, all right? This yesterday we have some friends in town, and their little guy, almost 2 years old, finally just took a step off of the pool, right into daddy's arm, right off the edge of the pool into daddy's arms. But I bet he did it 195 times after that, all right? And it reminded me of when I was a 16-year-old standing on this railroad trestle, looking down at 20 feet of water, just feeling all this anxiety, honestly, grief, like stress, like I want to do it, but I don't want to do it. I want to do it, but I'm scared. And finally, I did it. And then I did it 175 times that day, right? Anyone else? Like, you finally go for it, right? But it takes this moment. You're like, yeah, I wouldn't have had fun that day until I was willing to take a big all-in step. Today I want to talk about taking that all-in step. We saw it in the life of Stephen, willing to go all in. Here's what it means according to Stephen. I just want to go back to this passage that we just read and look at what it means for each and every one of us, because some of you might just still be in the place of investigation. Like, maybe I would do that. I don't know. The people seem nice here. I don't know. I like the music. It's the first time. I don't know. Let me just back time out just for a second, okay, before you make a decision. Here's what it means. It means courage. Someone say courage. Courage for what? Courage to be great. Courage to live out the destiny. Courage to live out the purpose. Courage to know, like, to actually live out the greatness that's in your heart. You know why there's so many frustrated people? Young people, you know why you see those people, like, out in the street, like, they're just maybe 10, 20 years older, and they just seem so bitter and frustrated? You know why? Because they didn't have the courage to live out the greatness in their life, and they're mad about it, and they're going to take it out on the next generation. That's what happens. Don't do it. Courage to be great. I believe that we all feel called to greatness, but the majority settle for so much less. And generation after generation can come, and even a generation can come that's not truly trying to be great. And all of a sudden, the baseline of humanity isn't even good. Why? Because individuals won't live for their own greatness. They won't live to be great. Why? Because people don't want to hold themselves to a higher standard. And people don't want to hold other people to a higher standard. Why? Because the former takes discipline, and the latter invites conflict. But I'm telling you, you can't go all in with Jesus unless you're willing to hold yourself to a higher standard and you're willing to call everyone else in your generation to do the same. But it's going to take discipline and it's going to invite conflict, just like it did for Stephen. Courage to live your best. Call others around you to do the same. Verse 54, we read it just a minute ago. The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusation. What was his accusation? Just go back and read it. It was a declaration of the past. He didn't even accuse them of anything. He just said, this is what has happened. Come on, let's go up to a higher standard. And instead, they begin to shake their fists at him in rage. You need to know that some of you in this room right now, you're facing opposition, not because you're doing what's wrong, but because you're doing what's right. If you want to live the greatness that's destined for your life, then there are people around you who will not understand the light. Some of you are ready to step out of like broken patterns that don't work, and you know they don't work because they never have worked. For you, you tested it out. Other people didn't have to do those tests. You did. Okay, but now the tests have come back and it's conclusive. That doesn't work. But you stepping out into a new life, there are people who are going to have a problem with it. They're going to just be confused by it. They don't understand the new life that you want to live for yourself. They've seen evidence over and over again that you've ignored the greatness in your life. And it's helped them feel comfortable in ignoring theirs. And now as you make a bold step, it challenges them too also. Opposition for people who don't understand the new life you want to live. Opposition spiritually from the unseen forces of this dark age. Opposition internally because you've never walked that path before. I don't know, can I? I remember my grandmother led me to Christ. I was 20 years old. I'd struggled with addictions of all kinds. You fill in the blank. And she led me to Jesus, and she said, all right, amen, we're done. Now we're going to go over to your aunt's house. You're going to tell them what you just did. Okay. I went over there, and I was like, I gave my life to Jesus. They looked at me just like that. That was exactly what they're like, good for you. But internally, I was like, say what? What did you just say? You never said that before. You've never talked like that before. Sometimes the opposition we find is just internally. Moving out of the status quo takes courage. Being different takes courage. But it beats the alternative, being normal. Who wants to be normal? Nobody at their wedding says, who would like a normal marriage? I just pray over you a normal blessing. I hope you get a normal job. I hope you just make the normal amount of pay. I hope you have a normal amount of fun with your kids. I hope my son grows up to be normal. Some of you are like, that would be a miracle right now. It's a different sermon, different sermon. Hear me, like, you know that you've got greatness on the inside. You've just been living for normal. Come on. I don't want normal. No, hold on. You listen to this. I don't want normal. Because normal is divorce, and normal is brokenness, and normal is addiction, and normal is pain. Normal is insecurity, and normal has the best of me wrapped up in a jar, tied up, locked away where I can never find it again. I don't want normal. Listen, and I say that in the most non-judgmental way, I promise. I know I get excited, but listen, I've just tasted of that cup. No, thank you. I've had normal. It's disgusting and it's boring. Let's just be honest. It's boring. Other people are fearful of anything other than compromise. Let's be bold. Let's be brave. Other people are dismissive of people who are less than them in the status of this planet. Let's be humble and embrace everybody. That's normal. Normal is abandoning feelings for cool, calculated intellect. Let's embrace a passion. I'm not saying, you know, so let's use our minds, but let's embrace the passion because other people are tired. How you doing? Tired. I don't know, how you doing? I'm like, well, I'm pretty fired up. I'm not saying you have to have my personality. Please, not very many people can handle being married to this. Pray for my wife, all right? I get excited about everything, all right? Listen, like, but instead of being sullen and distracted and absent from life's best situation, let's bring our A game to every single moment. Like, we're so good at praising God for the moments that take our breath away, but what about the other 2,300 that happen every single day? What if we begin to praise God for every breath and every opportunity, while others just cater to the loudest, complaining, extremist segment of our population that push our culture to the lowest common denominator and force us into stupid stereotypes. We are going to be brave enough to create collaboration and build unity so that our entire consciousness can rise for the glory of God. I'm going to drink to that. It's water. Take it easy. Instead of being reactionary, let's live with integrity. While others are cynical, let's just believe again. Let's have faith again. Let's have hope again. While others are waiting for approval to do anything, we're going to be a movement. The church is, I've spent way too long on this first point. Are you with me? Confident, courageous, all right? Not cocky, all right? Stephen's shown, he's shown, right? Acts 6:5-15 says, at this point, everyone in the high council, this is just before it, stared at Stephen because his face became as bright as an angel's. Check this out. He's shown to point people to Jesus, not himself. You shine not to draw attention to yourself, but to show people Jesus. All in means courage. Someone say courage. All in, number two, all in means focus. So much of life comes down to focus. What's your focus? Without focus, right, where you want to go. If you don't know where you want to go, any road will get you there. Your life was meant to have a focus, a purpose. And when you don't know what that is, you're going to wander. When you know what your mission is, when you know what you want, you know what God wants you to want, and you're at, now you've got a mission, now you've got a focus, now you have a purpose. Look at his focus. Full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, look, I see the heavens. Oh, he told them, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Check this out. Faced with opposition, he's courageous. With the focus on heaven, it doesn't take his problems away. In fact, they got worse, but they were put into an entirely different perspective. So much so that we don't see Stephen looking into heaven, telling God about how terrible his circumstance is. Instead, in that very moment, we hear him declaring to his circumstance how great his God is. Come on, give him some glory. The closer Stephen gets to death, the closer he gets to life. That's the equation. The closer you get to death, the closer you get to life. Death is a mirror that gives us a glimpse into reality. It's a vantage point that you can see a little bit further about what's really important on this planet. I don't have time to give the commercial I wanted to. Come out Wednesday night to Growth Track. Boom, shameless plug, done. Why? Because everything that we're doing in this church as leadership is to align it so that we as a church can be a resource for you to live the greatness that God has called you to live. That's it. That's what we exist for. That's what I'm not here to do ministry. I'm here to empower you to do ministry. Because God's calling on your life is important. And we want to help you find it. Then we're going to work together and do it. It takes courage and it takes focus. All in means number three, trust. Trusting God for the outcome. Listen, if it isn't about me, then it's not up to me. If I'm fully surrendered, if I'm fully all in, then it's up to him. Stephen is chosen to serve food. He's called by God to serve people. He serves well. He performs miracles. Then the same people who oppose Jesus begin to oppose him, questioning him. He doesn't back down because he's all in, right? Courageous, focused. Verse 57 says, then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of the young man named Saul. A man named Saul was watching. You're going to find out in the next couple weeks just how significant it was that a young man named Saul was watching. Let me just say this. You have no idea who's watching you right now. You have no idea what young man or what young woman are watching you. And if you don't go all in and make the decision of integrity, the decision of destiny, the decision of purpose, you'll never know. You'll never know the impact that you could have made, would have made, should have made, but did not make. You have the opportunity to go all in. It means trusting God for the outcome, even when it seems like the circumstances are messing everything up. Nearly 100 years ago, the Philadelphia Church in Stockholm, Sweden, sent two missionary couples to the Congo. David and Svea Flood, along with Joel and Bertha Erickson, early 20s. They literally macheted their way through the jungle to create a mission in the Congo. During their first year, they did not see a single convert. No one came to Christ. The village was very resistant to the gospel because they were afraid of offending their tribal gods. But that didn't keep Svea from preaching about telling this, like, anyone she could, right? A little five-year-old boy delivered eggs to their back door every single day, and she would tell him about Jesus. Svea, shortly after arriving in the Congo, became pregnant. There was no TV at that point in history. They're way out. Some of you will get that later and be like, oh, that's terrible, all right? It's a little humor. It was just too little, all right? I messed the whole story up. She became pregnant, but the problem was she became bedridden for most of her pregnancy because she also was struggling with malaria. She gave birth to a baby girl, Anya, on April 13th, 1923, but Svea died 17 days later. David, her husband, and a heartbroken new father made a casket and buried his 27-year-old wife on the mountainside overlooking the village. Grief, then bitterness, flooded his heart. And so David Flood gave his daughter, Anya, to the Ericsons, the other missionary couple. And he went back to Sweden, where for 50 years, he would attempt to drown his bitterness and anger in alcohol, forbidding anyone to even mention the name of God in his presence. The Ericsons raised Anya until she was a toddler, but both of them died within 3 days of each other when the village poisoned them to death. Anya was given to some American missionaries who adopted her and renamed her Agnes. They called her Aggie. They eventually returned to America to pastor a church in South Dakota. After high school, Aggie enrolled at North Central Bible College in Minneapolis, Minnesota. She met and married a fellow student, Dewey Hurst. They started a family of their own and served a number of churches as pastors. Dr. Hurst eventually became the president of Northwest Bible College. For their 25th anniversary, the Bible College gave them a special gift, a trip to Stockholm, Sweden. Aggie had one mission in that 2 weeks, and that was to find her dad. After 2 weeks of looking, they had nothing, no leads. Until the last day, a tip pointed them to a rundown apartment complex, and they walked in and they found her dad lying on his deathbed in poverty. The last thing that David Flood ever thought he would hear is, "Papa, it's Anya." And the first words out of his mouth were filled with remorse. He said, "I never meant to give you away." And when they embraced, a 50-year curse of bitterness was broken. A father and daughter were reconciled. And that day, a father was reconciled with his heavenly father. The next day, the hearse got back on a plane, and when they landed in Seattle, Aggie received news that her father had passed away on the plane ride. 5 years later, Dewey and Aggie Hurst attended the very first World Pentecostal Conference in London, England, with 10,000 other delegates. God's up to something awesome on the planet. One of the speakers on the opening night was Rugita Ngora, the superintendent of the Pentecostal Church in Zaire. It stood out to Aggie that Rugita mentioned being from the region where her parents had been missionaries. After the message, Aggie spoke to him through an interpreter and asked, "Hey, do you know of this one little village?" And I was born there. And he says, "No way. I was born there." And she said, "Do you know the missionaries by the name of Flood?" He said, "Every day I would go to Svea Flood's back door with a basket of eggs. And she would tell me about Jesus. I don't know if she had a single convert in all of Africa besides me." Then he added, "Shortly after I accepted Christ, Svea died and her husband left. She had a baby girl named Anya. And I've always wondered what happened to her." And Aggie said, "I'm Anya." And they embraced like siblings who had been long lost since birth. And Rigida said, "Just a few months ago, I placed flowers on your mother's grave on behalf of the hundreds of churches and the hundreds of thousands of believers in Zaire. Thank you for letting your mother die so that so many of us could live." Let's be that kind of church. Let's go all in for Jesus and trust God for the outcome. All in means love. You see it right here in this last verse, right? Because it means courage, it means focus, it means trust, it means love. He fell to his knees shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died. Jesus, while hanging on the cross for the sins of humanity, looking down at those who were gambling for his clothes, the author of creation, who had become creation, is now embracing the worst of creation, looks down and says, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Let's love. Let's forgive one another. This could be a whole sermon on forgiveness. Let's love again. Let's be patient again. Let's be kind again. Not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Let's prefer one another again. Let's go. Let's not go on and on about the wrongs, but let's forgive the wrongs of the other. Let's rejoice again. Let's never give up. Let's believe again. Let's hope again. Let's endure again. Let's feel again. Let's breathe again. Come on, somebody, let's live again. Let's embrace every moment and every opportunity again. Here's what I know. If you'll go all in with Jesus, there are countless stories that'll be told throughout eternity because of your decision. And if you don't, you'll never know what they could have been. Don't live your life wondering what if. Right now, today, let's each and every one of us, let's ante up, let's go all in. More than just buying in, let's sell out to this cause. Let's let the author of creation be the author and perfecter of our faith. in our lives. Father, I just ask right now that we would be that kind of church, God, that we would believe in you again, that we get fired up for something bigger than ourselves again, that we transcend this life and we begin to make a difference again, God, that your church would be alive more than ever before for your glory, God, and by your grace, God, I ask each and every one of us, God, would come after you with all that we are. As I continue to pray, if you've never prayed a prayer of salvation, you've never prayed a prayer going all in, right now is your moment. I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm not going to stand up or come down front, but I want to pray a prayer of salvation with you. And I want to know who you are because today's your day. You know it. You've been living for yourself. Maybe you've even been churchy, but today you want a relationship. If that's you, would you just be bold and say, that's me, Pastor Jason, right here. That's awesome. Right down front. Is there anybody else? That's awesome, right there. Throw, okay, up back towards the back of the left. Just look at me. Raise your hand and look at me. There's nothing to be ashamed of. All heaven is rejoicing. Is there anybody else? Four, that's awesome, awesome, awesome. That's awesome. I saw that in the back, in the middle, towards the right there. All over this place. Each and every one of us, can we pray this prayer of all in? Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Jesus, come into my life. Change my heart and change my life. I've lived for myself, God, but today I'm going to live for you. I thank you, God, for new life. Today I give you mine. I believe in you, trust in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's put our hands together for those who just prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time. On your way out today, if you've just made that decision, please let us know. All we want to do is just come alongside your journey. We've got a box, a gift. It's a special gift with great materials for those that are ready to take those big steps and go all in with Jesus. Would you just fill out a connection card? Let us know what God's doing in your life. Drop it at one of the tables on either side on your way out the door. They've got a gift for you. They're going to pray with you. Maybe you have a prayer request. Maybe you're just visiting today. You can just drop that card and head outside.